Welcome to the Nimrod Horror Podcast, where we sit and talk about it. I'm Joey. It's Leo. What's up?
The fuck was that? It sounded like one of the Spanish announcers, like, Bienvenidos a los entertainers. Bimbo, bimbo pan. Make sure you get some bimbo pan and los Budweisers. Los Budweisers para...
Well, yes, we are with our October 3rd-a-thon, whatever you want to call it. We're doing part threes of the iconic franchises of like the 80s and 90s. And today we are touching on, which I'm going to straight up say because I said it before on this podcast. I'm not there yet. Close to there. We're doing Friday the 13th, part three. It's my favorite Jason movie. But before we get to anything involving JV, as we do on this show, or as we mostly do, we like to indulge in some sippage. What are we sipping on today, Mr. Leo?
What's this weed business you speak of?
Hey, I got some H2O. Speaking of H2O, I'll have more to say about that later.
Have you ever heard of a brewery called Wasatch?
No.
All right. I feel like I should have drank this on October 31st and not tonight. Because out of all the pumpkin beers I've had this month, this one takes the cake. Or the pie. Since there's pumpkin pie. Man, pumpkin pie.
Hi.
The Black O'Lantern. Pumpkin Stout. I've never had a pumpkin stout. I've had pumpkin ales, pumpkin this, pumpkin that. But, yo. I've never had pumpkin pie either. If this is what pumpkin pie tastes like. I Jason Biggs that pie.
I do like stout.
And it's not crazy on the alcohol. It's 6.66%
alcohol. Really?
Oh, bro.
Thanks. Oh. That's a pretty good, huh?
Oh, no. This right now is holding the title for the pumpkin beer of the month. Or the Halloween beer of the month.
Okay.
Let me write that down. In case this is dethroned.
I've never seen it, but I'll for it.
I just gone to the HEB down the road, and
HEB's been having some pretty good selection recently. Like, it's popping up with like good ones.
Like, I actually want to try the fish head pumpkin ale they have. The bottle looks amazing, and then they have one that's. It's by a company in San Antonio, but it's Sasquatch beer.
Okay.
That's one I wanted to try too.
Like, there's this one that like I really wanted to try, and like me and Brandon, who's been on the show twice before, we were actually going to buy, because like I first saw it at a HEB, and like the cans, they look like the Ninja Turtles ooze canisters, and like the drink's name is spelled in like the Ninja Turtle font and all that, but like it's a 4-pack, but it was like $27. And I was like, okay, this is a bit too much for a 4-pack. But then I showed Breezy the beer. Like I took a photo of it and sent it to him, and like he was like, hey man, we gotta get this. Just you and me, let's split it, let's have 2 each. We'll split the cost. So I was like, okay, man, yeah, let's do it. The next one, you go there, buys it, then whatever. I've never seen it since then. And I think it was a high percentage too. I think it was like maybe.
Oh yeah, it's because these microbreweries, and they all have like, this one ain't gonna be back. This is not coming back. The Sasquatch beer's not coming back, and it's almost like the Voodoo Ranger beers. Like they do have some that are different, and I saw a 12-pack on there that has a limited beer on there, and I'm like, I might just buy this just for this limited beer, because I can only buy it in this damn 12-pack. I've gone back to my old ways of trying out different beers, a new beer per episode on a podcast, instead of just drinking La Tequila or La Whiskey.
And like I mentioned, I'm drinking H2O, Kroger purified drinking water, to be exact.
Oh Lord.
So
I mean, that stuff could kill you. That's Jason Voorhees.
So before we dive into this movie, I am predicting the future, because we are recording this before this happens. But let me just congratulate the Houston Astros and also the Los Angeles Dodgers to making it to the World Series to have a rematch of the 2017 World Series. It should be a pretty fun World Series. I'm predicting Houston in 7 games, just like last time. What do you gotta say about this series?
I'd rather see the Braves, because I hate LA Dodgers.
Okay. So just in case that happens, edit. Hey, can you believe that, like, Atlanta versus Houston? Wow, that's going to be crazy. I'm going to predict Houston in 7 games. All right.
Atlanta won the game one.
Oh, did they? You mean game one of the World Series? Oh, man.
Oh, fool. Jesus Christ.
Or like another way, you know what? The Astros put up a pretty good series against the Sox, but just couldn't beat Boston. So congratulations, Boston, as they finish either Atlanta or Los Angeles.
Guess I gotta go get my Dropkick Murphy shirt.
You go. All right, on to the film that we are discussing today. Friday the 13th.
Oh, you asshole. You asked me what I thought about the series, and then you're going to cut me off and then throw me out. You're worse than my wife.
What do you think of the series that's not here yet?
Well, I can make some predictions.
All right. Make predictions. Make them sound like that's what happened.
I'm on ESPN. I mean, my predictions are the Astros win it in game seven against Boston. Now, the thing about Astros and the Red Sox is that can go either or. Mainly more Astros because they have more season winning games in the season. They have a 2-5. But every time Boston meets the Astros in the playoffs in these last couple of years, things have turned. They have turned. As we saw in game two. So.
But tonight Atlanta, was. Tonight was seven.
No, I said as we saw in game two. You know, the series is not yet done, sir.
It is done now.
Oh, my fucking God. All right.
The series is done when this comes out.
Jesus. You know what? You should have just asked me this and we should have just done 4, 5, 6. With all different variations of who wins and who what does what.
Bad that JD Martinez got like injured.
And this comes out. Congratulations to the Astros and the Dodgers for making the World Series. Game one is going to probably be a good one.
Yeah, I'm hyped.
Because you know what, motherfuckers? You can bring your trash cans and you can sound like fucking Slipknot percussion players, but y'all still ain't worth the shit.
Gotcha again, LA.
I mean, this is going to premiere before the end of the World Series, so.
But it'll probably come out like right when the World Series is starting, I think.
That's what I'm saying. With that being said,
I'm sure
Joe, you and me should start some teams, the Jasons and the Michaels. Huh? No, you gotta be Jason. Sorry. Freddy, we're going for the Freddy Cup. Whoever gets the, instead of a golden glove, you get the golden claw.
Pretty good. Like it. So, let's get into Friday the 3rd, part 3. This was released August 13th, 1982. Almost a month before I was born. Mom was pregnant with me when the film came out. Directed by Eve Miner, who did part 2. And as I mentioned, I was going to bring up H2O again. He also did Halloween H2O. And he's done like a few other horror movies, like action movies. But he does mainly TV. He does a lot of TV shows.
I'm like, we don't need to sit here and hear the whole entire TV mythology here, guy.
Yeah, but.
All right. Anyway. Joey, hot take.
Hot take. I love hot take.
I love this movie. But I don't find much special about it.
But you said
see how your face just turned. Your face. I feel like I just get handed you the gift of immortality and just destroy your world.
Wait, but you said you love this movie, but you don't have anything. There's nothing special about this movie.
Yeah, it's weird, huh? It's extremely weird. This is why. And here's my problem with this film. One, I don't think we can do scene for scene. You know why? No. I was gonna say, because it's every Jason movie.
Yeah, it's like the first four movies, pretty much. It's the same concept. Kids, camp, fodder, you know the drill.
Exactly. But, so there's nothing that really stands out. Even the best pair of tits in this movie are considered the seventh best pair of tits in the series.
We actually like that one from like part five. But I will say this, speaking of like that kind of, I think in the entire franchise, this like the top three like main girls, Chris, Debbie, and Vera, they are like the most attractive ones, like the entire series.
Oh, yes. Actually, they're the ones you root actually for. Not because of how hot they are, but like they actually feel genuine. She feels genuine. But here's my like other issue. Actually, I can't even say that now because we can at least talk about a little bit about the movie.
Yeah. Like I was gonna say, like, you know, as you mentioned that you root these girls so they have some character. And I think that's why most Friday fans will always their like favorite like of the whole series happens within the first four movies. You know, and that's usually like everyone's like a top four. That's not to say my top four, but those like first four are definitely, you know, some of the best ones.
But okay. I think so it's because if you really think about it, right, the first one starts the concept of go into the woods, go to the camp, just being open where a kid died and murders happen. And then you have the camp murders. Now, there's only been one movie that even though the murders were not as good as it was, the plot twist just nailed it out of the park. We all know what we're talking about here. Sleepaway Camp. What makes Sleepaway Camp what it was? The ending. What made the first Friday movie what it was? It was semi the ending. Kind of didn't see it coming at the time. If you were watching it at the time, or if this is one of the first horror movies you're going to watch in your life, you might not see that ending coming. Sleepaway Camp, if you never even heard of the ending, you can watch as many horror movies as you want. You'll never see that ending coming.
Oh, yeah.
But here we go. First movie. Of course, now we know the iconicness of it is Mama Voorhees. Then we start the second one. Let's be honest. It is a good effect. It has good kills. Like it's well directed. The practical effects are there. It works.
Quite a bit.
Pushes the story. Now the thing is, on the third installment, of course, they wanted to bring back the same girl from the second one. They're going to do a mental asylum thing. In other words, take it out of Crystal Lake.
Well, like, I heard that, like, she was going to, like, go to college, and then she finds her boyfriend dead. Like, he died, and then she, like, kind of trains and then goes back to Crystal Lake to fight Jason.
All right. Her Laurie Strode-ass calm down on that one. No, but I actually, well, what I read, and on the special features that I watched, it was said that the original script had it too, where she was going to be like traumatized from everything that happened and then end up in a mental asylum and then was going to be, and then Jason would go hunt her down in the mental asylum.
That's very Mike Myers-ish.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. It's fucking Halloween too. So they didn't go with that whole idea. Plus the chick, she didn't want to return. Another Hellraiser thing. Kind of, she didn't want to return to the film. But I've heard this come from a lot of people. And they're like, oh, well, that, because I mentioned it in the past in high school and all that, that when I had watched that whole interview about the asylum theory or storyline, that, oh, well, all the Jason's kills are in the lake. It wouldn't have worked. I'm like, that's not true. Jason killed the survivor from the first movie in her home. I highly doubt she lived in that lake. So, peep this. The third one has all these 3D effects.
Yeah, watch that one, basically when 3D was kind of coming back since like the 50s. And they
Paramount had first movie since 58.
Yeah, Paramount's first one. And like this was like the one that kind of got Jaws 3 to kind of say, okay, let's use this technology.
This movie made Jaws 3 and made Jaws 3 happen?
Basically. Well, like,
oh, man, like, I got to drop down the ratings on this one, then. I'm sorry.
Like it's the reason that, like, Jaws 3 became 3D. Because it works pretty well. There was a bunch of, like, stuff thrown at the camera or, like, angled at the camera, which doesn't, per se, translate too well for, like, home releases, and even with like the 3D glasses that the like the DVD and Blu-ray come with, it doesn't work too great. There's like sometimes
you have a small ass screen TV.
Even like with the big one, because like I do have like I think it was 61 inch or 50 something inch. It kind of works, but still, you know, it's still not too great. But I actually don't mind it, but I'm trying to think when I first saw it if I really noticed it.
I did.
I know when I was first starting to watch the... Okay. Well, I'll talk about something else after this, but... So, you do have a problem, or you did have a problem with the in your face, like that yo-yo scene where like the yo-yo is just like in front of the camera.
You know, there's only one movie where I did not mind the 3D effect, and it was the Wax movie, the Wax Museum movie, Vincent Price,
House of Wax, yeah,
House of Wax, Yeah, because Night at the Wax Museum is the 1933 one. Wax Museum is the remake. House of Wax with Paris Hilton.
Which was really good.
Actually, yeah, I'm very surprised. We should probably do that one. That's underrated. It's an underrated film right there.
Like, it seems like everyone says that, too, about that movie, that it is a surprisingly good movie.
It's because they saw Paris Hilton in it. You know, you see Paris Hilton's name on it, you're like, I'm not going to watch this shit.
But Paris has been in two good horror movies, so good on her. You should go and take the horror business.
What's the other one?
9 dead.
I didn't see that.
Oh, no. 9 lives. Sorry. 9 dead is a different movie. 9 lives.
I'll peep that out then. But it's the scene in that movie where the guy's doing the pogo and the ball keeps coming up to the camera. And he's just, he's randomly just saying, but he's like saying a story. And he's just like, he's selling you to come into the wax museum. And I don't know, that felt more natural than having like, yo, look at my phone.
Yeah. And then like.
And then you back out and then start talking again. You know what I mean? It's like they exaggerate how long they have something in your face.
Like the one thing that like, okay, like there was two moments in this film that I was like, okay, that's a bit kind of annoying a bit. Like, okay, so like after the first like scene, like the kid with the baseball bat, he's holding it at this weird angle that makes no sense if he's trying to like hit a ball. Even if you're trying to like a bunt it, how you bunt it either, and it just kind of like, I don't know, it just looks weird. And the other time is, which I was going to mention, when the group of teens like notice that like hitchhiker hobo guy, and like he has his eyeball, and that eyeball looks nothing like an eyeball. I don't even know what that is.
It's a dirty sock.
Like he holds it up to the camera for like 50 seconds, it seems. It's so long.
Insane. It's like they're saying, like, look at this. I'm like, shut your door, the explorer looking ass up and let me watch this.
But like those are like the only two that kind of bother me in the movie.
No, there's a scene where someone gets stabbed with a pitchfork and the pitchfork's standing like this. And the guy's like, I'm like, just fucking die already.
Yeah. He's like, yeah, I'm good.
I feel like he was in a Mexican soap opera. When they get shot, it's like, hey, that's me. This kid. The kid on the like, bro, can we fast forward this episode? You know what? If someone dies like that in the beginning with a soap opera, I'm just fucking done with that episode. I'll watch tomorrow because that's he'll finally die tomorrow's episode, 30 minutes into it.
But like because like especially at this time, like the 3D camera and like effects, they were still like really new and they had never really done it for like a budget movie like this in a while. Well, like the first time really with this new technology. And that's why like filming this movie took a lot longer. Like the actor Shelley, played by Larry Zernron, whatever his last name is, he tells a story about the scene where he has to like throw his wallet. He had to like throw it at this perfect spot or else it wasn't going to capture it properly. And he said that he probably did that almost 100 times. Throwing a wallet. And that's why this movie took 3 times longer to shoot, because everything had to be lit up perfectly. And
there was also this movie is so short.
But there was a problem with like Jason's movie. Again, okay, so I've heard 2 different stories about this mask. One side claims that they had this like hockey mask and they weren't planning this to be like his look. But like another side I've heard said that they were trying to look, trying to find a mask, like look to give Jason like an, like another sequel to kind of give him an iconic, you know, trait. Much like how Michael Myers was at that time. So I don't know which one's right. I originally thought that it was just kind of an accident, like somebody like had this hockey mask and Steve Miner liked it. Said, okay, put it on him, and that's it, you know. But then like the audience loved the look, which I did not know. This mask was a Detroit Red Wings mask.
Oh, that's where the whole thing came up from.
Because, like, at this time, this is, like, still when, like, hockey masks, like the goalie masks, still kind of look like that. They were evolving around this time to what they kind of look like now. This is apparently a Red Wings mask. But one thing that I wanted to, like, okay, so when I first started to really watch Friday films, I was probably like around, I don't know, 15, 16-ish, whatever, something like that. Mm-hmm. And my parents used to kind of, it's like, my dad used to work for this person who had like this big ranch, whatever. So we would sometimes visit there, and we would like sleep in like one of like little houses for like the weekend or so. So whenever we did, we would usually rent a Friday the 13th film and watch it. And it was usually like the first four. So I would get confused on which one was which because I was not like 100% into the films yet. Like Jason was not my first love. I did not fall in love with him. That took me a little while. But there is a storyline in this movie that when I would see it, I would get confused. And I was like, okay, this is part three. So this character, Chris, was in part two. Because, okay, so this like character, Chris, is traumatized by like a previous event that like Jason did. So if you're
that's one of my issues.
Yeah, it seems like she was in the second one and she's coming back Crystal Lake ish and she's like, oh, I mean Jason's dead, you know, it's like if things are gonna be better now.
Okay, hold on. That's where one of my questions came from.
What's your question?
Does this movie even take place on a Friday the 13th?
What's that?
Does this movie even take place on a Friday the 13th?
I think by this time they stopped caring.
Then why would you call it a Friday the 13th?
If that was the franchise name.
I say they should have just not even bothered. If you're going to give the guy a hockey mask and you do all that, I would have just...
They didn't, like, mention the date, I don't think, in this film, so maybe it does.
I mean, it wouldn't make sense, so think about it. Because you have the whole... You know, the whole thing that
Part two,
they showed up in part two on Friday the 13th. This is that like, night ended.
Like,
Jason got killed during the day. He walked over to someone else's house, murdered them. Because technically, yeah, this is a continuation the same day. It's almost like Halloween 1 and 2, where it's just the same night. He walks over, kills somebody, or two people. And then they find the bodies. Now, here's the thing. How long would it take for anyone to pass by that store and find the bodies?
It's like a day.
Exactly. So then in a day, that same day, they decide to come down. Everything is just going a little too, you know what I mean? But the fact is,
like, this is like definitely like the 14th, like 15th. I mean,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, because, like, yeah, that's right. Look, I forgot this took exactly the day after the second movie. Which I do want to mention about that first couple that's like killed. They like own this, like, you know, little grocery store, you know, out in the middle of like pretty much nowhere type of camping area.
Like Courage the Cowardly Dog.
Like, that place is a reason why I will never shop at any random, like, little town grocery store that looks like that. Because, like, the owner, they have a rabbit that's just, like, eating the product. And the dude just, like, opening orange juice, drinking from it, and putting it back. He's taking a donut. He's eating it. He's taking these peanuts straight from the thing, eating it, putting up the lid, you know, it's disgusting. And the guy looks disgusting. And like, he uses the bathroom, and just by the sound of it, the look of it, it smells like it's like,
awesome. Minor. So you didn't have the 3D glasses, he has smell-o-vision.
Yeah, like, Miner did a good job of capturing what that was like. The whole, like, he did a good job. So this film has really also one of the most iconic non-Jason characters, or non-female characters, and that is Shelley. The, like, the prankster, the kind of, like, not so attractive kid, the nerdy kid. He plays pranks on people that are borderline insane. He had one time that, like, he had a little bit hatchet in his head with, like, fake blood and everything, just to freak people out. And he's also the reason why Jason got his mask. It's like, he first used the hockey mask to scare off Vera by the lake. But the actor, Larry Zuron, wait, let me try to actually pronounce his last name. Sorry, Larry. Let me pronounce your name. Zuron. Something like that. I don't know. I tried, but anyway.
Hey, you're doing better than Killjoy did.
True. But how he got this role was pretty crazy. So he was kind of a struggling actor. I mean, like, he's really just has this one role anyway. But At this time, he was in Los Angeles. I don't believe he had any role prior to this movie, but he was, like, working just a, like, regular daytime job too. But he was handing out tickets to Road Warrior, so, I guess, people for free. And then the two writers of this movie saw him, and they went up to him and said, "Hey, are you an actor?" And he said, "Yeah, you know." And they said, "We have a script, and you're perfect for, like, a character." And of course, he had, like, addition. And it's kind of like rude sounding, but to say, hey, third.
Bro. So the movie needed a loser and a dude was found on the street handing out. I wonder how bad he was handing out these slips to go watch this movie. Like, was he just standing there going like, hey, can you check? Okay, sorry. Hey, will you check out this movie? Okay, I'm sorry. It's like, how pathetic did you have to look in Los Angeles? I feel bad for the actor now. And then this is the only role he got.
Like I wonder what he like he role after this. But of course, because he was in this movie, he always makes money because of conventions.
I need to be in a horror movie.
And a major one.
I'll play murder victim number 3Z. I'll be in the massacre scene.
But man, what else was I gonna say? Like, like I was gonna say, well, basically, this is like the whole thing. But yeah,
if you've seen one and two, especially two, then you've seen three.
Plus, like,
I think these movies only have like a side story. That's it.
Yeah. And like we said, like the side story is like Chris has experienced Jason before. Now they do show us like the flashback. One day Chris was in, I guess, Crystal Lake. She was sleeping on a tree, like next to a tree. She wakes up and she sees crazy Jason without like any type of face covering. And like he's kind of like just scares her, really. She freaks out. Now, originally, he was supposed to rape her. That was the original plan. I'm not sure why they didn't do that. I guess they thought it would just be too mean-spirited. Or maybe they thought Jason wouldn't
maybe
do that.
Maybe the backlash from House on the Last House on the Left.
Oh, speaking of that, so Chris, like the first time we see her when she hops out of the thing, it's a White House on the left. Was that a reference to Left House on the left? I mean, Last House on the left. To the left. That's what. I wonder that.
You completely lost me there, guys.
Like, you know, like, the band stops by in the very beginning when you first like meet the kids. Chris jumps out of the van. She says, "It's the White House on the left." Now, I was wondering if it was a reference to Wes Craven's film Last House on the Left.
Tip of the hat. Good question. I don't think it was.
Probably not, but I forgot. So let's pick another section. Oh. So I really like this movie. Same with the first. They all kind of have the same kind of music. I'm not sure if it's the same composer for like the first four films, but I love it. It's top three best score, like in like for franchises. I would say, you know, I like the little strings, I like the little everything about it.
Yeah, the score is good. It actually has a pretty good score. It has the vibes to it. It's the thing. It has the vibes to it. Because I would think that, well, of course, we know now movies, whenever you watch a movie now, it has the MTV vibe, the Billboard vibe, if it's a big budget movie, or if it's a B movie, you would have an up and coming band that's trying to sound like Blink 182 or Sum 41 for most parts of the movies. Let's be honest, Joey. Come on.
I mean,
or you have your wannabe Kesha's, or your wannabe Kanye's, or artists that sound similar to them. But it's always usually easier to find a local punk band to sound like you're making an American Pie movie to make your soundtracks.
But now, like the main theme to this movie, like the title theme, it took me a while to like. I thought this song sounded goofy, you know, like, you know, it's weird, like synth type, kind of borderline disco-y sounding tune. But now,
oh, I mean, it's the Friday the 13th song just remixed.
So I'm saying, like, now I love it. First,
you know, the first time I heard it, I enjoyed it, and then when I saw, because I remember I watched Ernest Scared Stupid right next to it, right after it, and then Ernest Scared Stupid said that. I was like,
"Wow,
the same fucking music." I mean, I remember my uncle I used to go to Nacogdoches, which is like, now they call it Neck of Nowhere. It's one of those towns, like, there's, and especially back then, there was nothing. It wasn't even a hospital. You need to go to the hospital, you better get ready to be taken on the helicopter. Or if you were giving birth, you were goddamn lucky you were going to drive or hold that baby in for an hour and a half to get to the next hospital. That's how that town was. It's the oldest town in Texas. And my uncle used to rent, like, he used to, I don't know where the fuck he popped out with all these movies. I remember the first time I saw Batman, it was at his house. We'd watch, like, the Friday the 13th films, or the Jaws movies. My oldest cousin, Morena, she loves, like, a lot of the, those type of, like, animal attack movies, Jaws, shark movies, Anaconda. She likes all that kind of stuff. But it'd always be creepy because we would watch like the Friday the 13th films, the Halloween films. And what would suck major nuts is the fact that my uncle lived in a trailer in the middle of jack shit nowhere on acres of land. Where there's no fucking neighbors. So you're watching these movies, and something, if a tree branch fell on the house, you'd hear it, and you're like, fuck this. We're done with this movie. You know what I mean? And we'd watch, like, the Halloween movies, or we watched the Jason movies, and my cousins would always, like, scare me. They'd always be like, the killer's outside the house. And I'm like, if he is, why aren't you running? So, like, halfway the movie, they're like, they'll go.
Because they've already seen the movie. They'll go and they'll, like, disappear. And then they'll fuck with me. I'm like, it's taking forever to come back. And she's like, oh, she went outside. I'm going to go see if she's okay. And then they'll, like, bang on the damn close to the window. And I'd be like, fucking older cousins. Hate them. Ah, I love them. Good times, good times, good times.
Okay, this is, so, what's also weird, I guess is weird about the Jasons of, like, 2, 3, and 4, they are nothing like, I guess, the zombified Jason that we now know as. And like in this film, I guess they weren't sure if, like, Jason was still human or what. He's still like Jason.
No, actually, no. This is the 80s. He's still human. Oh, yeah. It wasn't until like the 90s when he went all fucking Land of the Dead shit. Still. Well, it did get crazier as the 80s went along. That's true. The 80s did get more crazy. Man, think about it. By that point, them directors were doing cocaine. Cocaine is a hell of a drug.
Yeah, by like part 6, that's when there was game over. Jason was like what Jason's now known as.
Hellraiser was created on speed. They couldn't fucking finish the damn storyline on that damn movie.
But like Jason like runs this movie. He's kind of just pushed around by people. He grunts. He does like a ooh type thing.
Well, think about it like this. Jason's, the guy who is Jason in this film, is literally a trapeze artist.
Yep.
He's not even like a bulky dude. He actually had to wear padding under his clothes to make himself.
Wear padding too.
So that's a. And now you're going to make me give this movie a lower score, yo.
Like, he is not... He's not he's my not, favorite, you know.
Like, he's not Jason material?
Like, I think he wouldn't be recast as Jason. Like, I think that's why he's in school. I think he did a fair Jason as being the first one who had the iconic look. Yeah. My biggest thing, and this isn't just this movie, this is the entire franchise. Why does Jason, whenever you see him maskless, which is in pretty much every movie, why does he always look completely different?
I was gonna say, that's the same question.
This one directed by the same guy who did part 2, and they don't look at all the same, Jason.
Maybe the same reason Michael Myers doesn't have the same mask in any.
That's always the biggest question about the Michael Myers movies.
The other day I asked my friend, like, hey, you know how my dad looks like William Shatner? He's like, yeah, he looks exactly like William Shatner. I'm like, you think if I get a mold of his face, I can make myself like a semi-authentic Michael Myers mask? But I never thought of that. That could probably work. Except yours would be like old Shatner. I'm like, that would make it creepier. Think about it.
I was listening to like another horror podcast, and they were doing Halloween 5, and that's what they were talking about. That one of the Halloween 5 that they did was to the mask, and they realized the mask was too small. And they were like, "Well, we got this mask, so we got to go with it." But like on, especially on movies like H2O, which Homer did, by the time H2O rolls around, you have Halloween stores like, you know, Party City selling Michael Myers masks. Why don't you just go to Party City and just buy yourself a Michael Myers mask? Because that looks better than what H2O had. And, well, Resurrection was okay of a mask.
No. Okay. I refuse. The only cool thing about that movie was the dumbest part about that movie. And the only way I can watch that movie is if I'm extremely drunk, because I cheer on when I'm drunk, or I'm extremely high because I cheer on. And that's the fact that Coolio was fighting Michael Myers in a burning building.
Busta Rhymes.
Was it Coolio? Busta Rhymes. Well, it don't matter. The motherfucker knew Kung Fu and he fought Michael Myers.
Oh, man. Like, I do like that movie. It's definitely one of the worst, but, you know.
Oh, it is one of the worst. Hold on. Shit. Stupid thing kept going off. Can you see me?
Yeah.
Oh. Man, I love this laptop. It fucking works quick.
I still don't have seen one of what people consider the worst one, too, is a Rob Zombie's Halloween 2. I've not seen that one.
I can make that movie happen.
Huh?
I can make that movie happen.
I know. We've, like, mentioned that to be in a future episode, which I don't mind, because I do need to finally watch that movie. But, you know, I've heard some crazy stories about, like, crazy things about that movie. But anyway, we are talking about Friday the 13th, Part 3, that we've...
Let me ask you, what characters in this movie did you find that you didn't want to die? Because I personally did not give a fuck about it anymore.
I didn't want to die.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, we kind of mentioned earlier that, like, so we kind of like the three main girls. I like Shelley. Like, a part of me thought, you know, wish that Shelley would have made it. I think that's about it, actually. Just those four characters, I guess, kind of. Vera, Debbie, Chris, and Shelley. Like the stoner couple. I mean, stoner couples, like, stoner people always die. Guy that was trying to be like Chong. He was a Chong ripoff.
Yeah. Well, what I mean is, like, you know how sometimes you have the one character that's either close to the main character or someone who, like, does a heroic act and you're like, I hope you don't die.
Oh.
Like, none of that exists in this one.
Like, oh, yeah.
Even in Texas 3 with Leatherface, the Leatherface movie, that one dude that should be dead but did not die.
Yeah. It does not have that. That's true. Which is, I guess, kind of kind of different, slightly different.
Pretty much, what should have been Paul Rudd in Curse of Michael Myers. I really have something in my eye.
I got something sticking in my eye, like a No Effects song.
You want me to play it on the bass? I'll play it on the bass.
I just talked about that. Never mind. One character I was glad who was killed off. I was like happy who was killed off. Was that idiot Andy? Why is this boy walking on his hand, like for half of the movie, it seems. Like I get it. It's like a cool little trick to like do in front of your girlfriend for like a little bit. But when you're out in the hallway by yourself with no one else around, why? Why are you doing this?
Because he's practicing that he can do a 69 on a midget.
Yes, so I think we all do. But
for a little person, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's like a little person. Yeah, but then like Jason.
But it is though.
Like, yeah, Jason like slices them down the balls, you know, cuts them in half, or like kind of like not
all beat his ass.
Which is like pretty cool. Speaking of that, what is your favorite kill in this movie?
I don't have one.
Not the eyeball kill?
The 3D effects ruins it.
You know what? This movie has a lot of eyeball stuff. Because, like, Vera's
stat. Like an eyeball fetish.
There's 3 points of eyeballs in this movie. You got the hobo guy that, like, has the eyeball out there. Vera gets harpooned in the eyeball. And then the guy, Chris's boyfriend, I think his name's Rick or something like that, his head gets crushed and his eyeball pops out, which that probably was like really cool at the theaters, but you can tell that head looks so bad. No offense to the makeup people, but that head looks so fake.
Well, the thing is, like, think about it nowadays, we watch it on more. That's what I always said. Like I watch films, because I've actually like watched some DVDs on a box TV. It looks different than a flat screen.
Oh yeah, that's true. It's but speaking of that, kind of here's because like I don't personally own it, but I've been at a friend's house who like owns like the 4K thing of Texas Chainsaw.
And yeah, I got it too.
It looks really good, but I think it loses some of like what makes that film so good is that it loses some of that dirt. It loses some of that grime.
No, yeah, I know exactly what you mean. I own it like that, and I own Halloween. Halloween the original on 4K and watch it off the 4K TV, and it's like it's that sharpness.
Yeah, that
the lighting doesn't work with it.
Yeah,
back then movies were made the way they were with the lighting, and like I feel like whenever you remastered these movies, you should probably fix the lighting on the films. Like, you know, like some scenes that seems a little too dark for then, and you do it now, and then it's like whoa. Like, I feel like I wanted to go to the TV and I actually dimmed the TV, and at the same time, I'm like, I need to dim more. We need to dim some. I feel like I need to fuck with the contrast. You remember that shit? Like, I don't know if you ever had the TV, we had the little knob at the TV and be like, mess with the contrast. See if. And at a point, you make your fucking TV screen look pink and purple, pink and blue. See, I've had that. I used to have that.
Yeah.
And I remember, like, my mom in the living room, she never had a fucking. Hell, even me, I have a 40 inch TV in my office. My mom had nothing compared, like, that big. In the living room, it was just that little square, fucking maybe 30 inch the most, if anything. I think even smaller than that. And I used to watch all the movies there, and I remember my friends were like, oh, well, I got this TV, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, so? And then we watch horror movies, and I'm like, this shit sucks. Like, it's not the same grit, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, even then, like, sometimes I enjoy watching something on a DVD player, like a DVD movie, more than I do a Blu-ray. Yeah. Like, I'd rather watch the older stuff on a DVD than I would on a Blu-ray player, because the Blu-ray sometimes, same thing. It does, they sharpen the quality of this and this, and then, like now, my wife would be like, oh, you can see the string, you can see the string. I'm like, that's not the point, though. You know what? Here, let's watch the DVD version of it. See? No string. There's no string.
Right. It's like you could even say, like, that the DVD compared to, like, the VHS version. It's like, maybe in this, like, eyeball scene in, like, the VHS version, maybe you can't see, like, the little wire coming from his eye. I've not seen this one in a while.
Not too much. I recently saw, I guess probably like 2 months ago, I saw it on VHS. And I didn't complain about no wires. You can see the wire, but it's not as sharp.
Yeah.
It's one of those where, like, it's there, but it blends in, kind of. Like, you can see it, but it's not where it's, you're like, ah. Like, yeah, clearly see that fucking wire. And I think that's what hurts movies now. That I feel like they're not watching it how it should be watched.
Yeah.
Because these films were made with, it's almost like nowadays, if I would play a Super Nintendo on a 4K TV.
Yeah.
You plug that bitch in, or you play like the emulators or whatever. Yeah, 16 bits. You'll see those fucking 16 bits. Or you play a Nintendo and you see all those 8 bits. You're like, God damn, I don't remember looking this horrible. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
It's like that same concept.
I really noticed it with like the first like PlayStation game. You know, because like when they first started to kind of do like the whole like TV type game, that's when it looked bad. It's like whenever I go back and look or play like a Genesis game, I know what I'm getting. But like if you go play like what was that? Brawl's War from like 98 or so, man, it looked really bad.
Oh. Yeah, Bros War. WWF Bros War.
It looks really bad.
Warzone.
It looks really bad, but man.
Nah, it's I just recently bought the remake to Diablo 2.
Yeah.
On PC. And there you can actually hit the button so it changes it to the graphics of the old one. Like, you play the same game, but you play it in the graphics of the old one. So you can go between, you want to play new school, you want to play old school. Oh, man. And when I say it plays like the old school graphics, I was like, the fuck all these squares. You will see. Actually, I want to take a screen. Next time I play, I'll take a screenshot. So you'll see what I'm talking about. But all right, cool.
But
you getting a beer? You got a beer?
Oh no, I have like none here. Actually, I think I do technically have some, but I think I got like a Lone Star, like maybe two. But yeah, so let's go back to Friday the 13th. So sorry, listeners, if you're thinking that we're going off about other subjects, but
it's just real Nimrod Horror Podcast.
Yeah, this is like this is a film that like everyone has seen, especially if you listen to this. I mean, there's really not much of a story. That's okay. So, like, that's one of the reasons why it took me a little bit to get into Jason movies. Because first I got into Freddy and Michael, and of course Chucky, because like they had like so much story and all this going on. Jason movies really don't have much story. It's basically like, okay, Jason, Crystal Lake, teen, kill them. He gets killed somehow at the end. Yeah.
But the thing also is that Jason's story is the rehash story.
Like, what do you mean, like, rehash? Like,
that's mainly the concept for almost about 70% of all the slasher films in the 80s.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. And, well, like, also with like Jason, like, nothing's new is added. Like,
except 5, and then 6 when he lives again.
Like, 5 wasn't really Jason. Spoiler for you listeners.
The fifth one. I mean, everybody knows that by now. If you didn't know, we are sorry. You're listening to the wrong podcast at this point. You started at the wrong place.
Yeah. And that's another reason why, especially the first four, if you're not like hardcore into these movies, you'll get confused on which one's which. Especially like 2, 3, and 4. They look almost the same too.
This is actually a true fact about me watching this movie. The first time I watched it, I didn't even realize I was watching a Friday the 13th film. This was the second one I watched. And I remember when I was watching it, it wasn't until the commercial break that I found out that it was. You know, like sometimes a movie just go into commercial, and then like every once in a while it will tell you, like, we will return soon to da 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 da. And then when it said Friday the 13th, I was like, I'm watching a fucking Jason movie? I didn't hear fucking. Because at the moment he didn't have the hockey mask.
Yeah.
So, and I remember the first scene I saw was the scene where the bikers, because that's when I remember watching this movie. It was the scene where the bikers were trying to burn down the barn.
Yeah.
And he kills all three of them or whatever. Well, he kills two of them, you know, whatever. But it wasn't until I kept watching the movie and it does the whole, like, Wolf returned to Friday the 13th. And then after, when it came back from the break, he got the mask. And that's when it made sense to me. And I'm like, so I said, because he literally gets the mask an hour into the movie. And this movie's like an hour and 20 minutes.
Oh, yeah. It's, well, like.
Well, on TV, it was 2 hours, but whatever.
Yeah. Speaking of those, that, like, Biker King, that became a Friday staple, which I think they may have introduced to the whole slasher thing, like, just bringing characters in just to kill them. They're not really important to the storyline at all. They have one little incident with like Shelly, like Vera, but they're there just for like Jason's body count to like go up. Because like Michael didn't really do that. Because at this time there was 2 movies. Friday. The one that introduced, like, hey, bring in characters just to kill them. Not, like, a part of the main story. And that barn was like made for this movie, and it was there up until 2012 when it was burned down.
I am a super fan, apparently.
Oh, super fan did it. Oh, speaking of that, this is the first film in the series. At this time, there was just two parts of it that was filmed in California, and I think the first were in North Carolina. Mr. Liu, anything else you want to say about this film? I think I may have like one or two more things.
Not enough boobies.
That's true.
Those would have been nice to see in 3D.
Out of all, like, you know, back when, like, 3D was popping, like, a few years back ago, like, whatever, 10 years ago, I think about seeing a movie that had nudity in it in 3D. Off the top of my head, I can't think of one. But I don't think my buddy Valentine remake had nudity.
No.
That's another one I saw. I know I saw Resident Evil. What was it? Afterlife?
No, titties. No, 3D titties.
I don't think I saw 3D titties ever.
All right, Joey, we have a mission.
3D titties.
3D titties.
3D double D. 3D DDD.
Oh, no, Piranha double Ds.
But I never saw that one. In a theater, or
had it in my bat cave. They do have a dick getting chopped up by some piranhas, though. That was the original one.
Let me see.
That's the original movie. The original remake.
I think Steve Miner did another good job here. Definitely good at the slash genre.
Yeah. It that's what I said. It's a typical movie, but it still works.
Yeah. And
what this movie actually helps on, and it's good, is the fact that it does. And we did not mention this, but it's very strong on jump scares. The audio, like you said, and the jump scares do actually, like, some of them, you know it's coming, but the audio they use when the jump scare happens, it's on point. It's perfect. And I feel like maybe 99.7% of the movies nowadays miss the mark on that.
Oh, yeah. Or they rely too much on, like, just the jump scare. And that's it. Loses everything else. So, as I mentioned earlier, this is my favorite from the series. And people might be like, "Well, it sounds like you're just kind of saying they're all the same." It's like, ultimately, what makes this is my favorite of the series is the overall characters. I do like the way they interact with each other. I like their dynamic. It's not so much of your typical type of teens. You don't really have that bitchy girl. You don't have the super jock guy. I guess you could, if you had to say there's kind of a jock guy, but not really. And Shelly's,
it actually feels like an actual group of friends.
Yeah, exactly. Like, Shelly's kind of a nerd, but he's not like a super nerdy type of, you know, guy.
He is.
He's just kind of a weirdo, I guess you would say. But yeah.
So we're technically weirdos.
But yeah. But as Leo said, yeah, they really seem like actual friends. But yeah, except for like the two stoners, they just seem kind of out of place. Like, I don't know. But it's just like they are like, hey, I got two friends. Put them in this movie. But okay.
Yeah, I feel like if we were making like a spoof of Friday the 13th, we'll just put him inside the van, victim one, victim two. Like, with his shirt.
Yeah, but they didn't die like right away. It took them, they were like one of the last ones to be killed off, it seems. But yeah. Happens. Yeah, but they were like barely in the movie, really. They were there. Should we go to Raytones?
Just go for it.
All right. Trying to figure out who would have the lower rating here. You know what? I'll just go first. Whoever has a lower one, I'm sure it's not even that much lower. Like I said, I've stated a bunch about this movie. So I always get, this is my favorite one. And I will give this, I'm tempted to give it a little higher, but I'll give it a 8.5. What do you say, Mr. Leo?
Do you remember my rating for Nightmare 3?
Nightmare 3, I think you said the 9.5.
I have issues with it, with the characters and everything, but the thing is, even though I might bash on it, unlike you heard the last week's episode of Hellraiser, this one just works. But it works the right way. Not convoluted story. I feel story and I got a little effed up what they were trying to do. Yes. But there's some
backstory that whatever, but
yeah, but the characters were like you and me. It doesn't feel, the characters do not feel forced. Do I care about most of them? I really don't, but they don't feel forced. That's one thing that's actually enjoyable about this film. The characters are different. They feel like they are individuals and not individuals made a product of Hollywood. The soundtrack, the score, love it. The jump scares are on point. Like I said, you can see them from a mile away, but sometimes in the darkness, that mile can be in your face really quick. Story-wise, the same thing we've seen every time before, but it's a recipe. It's almost like your favorite meal that you'll always have once a week. It just works. If it's not broken, don't fix it. That's what I mean.
It's like the band that like puts out a album that almost sounds exactly the same, but there's one you say that's the best one because like in that particular time, everything just comes together at its best. So you could say it might be just slightly better than the last album, but you know, this one just everything just comes together. Because again, I really like Part 2. Part 2 is my second favorite one, but I would give that definitely a lower rating, probably like an 8, but you know, still.
Yeah, and literally, the 3D effects, it merges this movie.
I don't mind. Except for those, like, like a few things that they mentioned.
It, to me, it murdered. A lot of it got murdered because of that. But the fact is, see how high the rating still is? This is how it's an essential horror watch.
I definitely say so, yeah. I think this one is definitely must watch for a horror.
And what I like about it, this is the heaviest reason why I like about it. Even though it's a part three, you don't have to watch part one and two to understand what the fuck is going on. It does give you a small back history. It does enlighten you, and even though you miss the beginning of it, it's still as entertaining.
Oh. Mm-hmm. I forgot to mention, I know we're already past our rating now, so mm-hmm. just put off of...
No, rating. Dude, just keep going. It is what it is.
I totally forgot to mention this. The very ending where Chris is basically redoing the first movie and the new, and Jason's mom pops out of the water. What do you think about that?
At least it was a dream.
Yeah, like I thought it was kind of.
No, wouldn't have been really corny if fucking Jason would have jumped out the water with his mom's face.
That would have been. But
that would have been extra corny.
I thought it was like a little corny, but still like kind of a cool little like homage to the first one. Glad it was just a dream. Just a dream. It is time for Brett. Oh, Mo, Dave, Sean. I actually don't have one picked out, so Leo, you go first.
Oh, shit. Right off the bat like that? God damn. I gotta pee. If I hit a recommendation, I will say, you know what? Check out the soundtrack to Friday the 13th, Part 3. Music has a lot to do with this movie. You'll know when you watch it, and if you have not watched it and just listen to this podcast to see if you can get into it. Thing is, we didn't spoil the fucking movie. Check out the soundtrack. It works.
As for me, I did not have any prep, but like I do, I always like to have something that's close to this. I would suggest
that one episode of Emerald Hard Podcast where we did part 6.
Yeah, listen to last year when we did Friday the 13th. Part 6 with my brother Chris. We recorded that on the 4th of July last year. I remember that. Look it up. I think it's like episode, I don't know, like 53 or so. So Leo, where can people find you at the social medias?
You better keep that one in there. I feel like that was a solid 5. You can find me at xxleoxr2d2xx on the Instagrammo.
And as for me, you can find me at Nimrod Horror on the Instagram. And for the entire podcast, too, you can find us at Nimrod Horror Podcast, one word. On Instagram, Facebook, and don't forget to subscribe, comment, like, share on our YouTube page, youtube.com/podcast. And next week, we got kind of a, to close out our October thing, we have kind of an impressive closer. We got Halloween 3 and a surprise. It is another third movie, but it's maybe you don't realize it's a part 3 until you think about it. Like, okay, yeah, that's a part 3. I think I just spoiled what it is, but whatever, you know. But until next time, I am Joey. This is Leo.
I gotta go pee.
Bye.